Morning, Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 24. Give you a second to get there and find your place. Matthew chapter 24. This is a parallel passage of what we shared this morning together. And of course, Jesus is doing the speaking here. And in this, a couple chapters ahead, he's going to the temple. He does the second cleansing of the temple. He's talking to the Pharisees. And of course, he's just kind of letting them have it through this whole thing. And then he comes to this chapter, chapter 24, with he's with his disciples. Specifically, it told us it was Peter, John, James, and Andrew in the Mark passage. We saw that. So let's begin reading in verse 1, and if you'll follow along, we'll go down to verse 14 this morning. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you for your love for us, that from the foundation, the beginning, that you had a desire to have fellowship with your creation. And Father, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, that he shed his blood, that our sins could be forgiven. We thank you that he was buried, that he rose again. He lives today, interceding for us right now. We thank you for the Word of God you've given to us and put into our hands. We thank you for the Spirit of God that resides in us, that we might be able to discern, that we can have the knowledge and understanding, the wisdom we need to apply. Father, I just pray now that you'd go before us, that you'd guide and direct and help us to glean something today that we might be able to share. And Father, that we too can see that times are coming to the end. Things are getting closer every day. Just as Peter and Paul and James and the others believed in their day. Father, help us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A fellow tells a story of some folks that were waiting outside of for a job interview, and it was for a wireless operator. I think I shared this with you before. Anyway, the group of applicants, they were standing around. You know how it is when you've been into a situation where you're going for a job interview or something, and there's people congregating. You're all talking and just hanging out, and you're, you know, talking to each other or whatever. Sometimes, maybe not. Maybe you're sitting in the corner. I don't know. But if you're talking to people or whatever. But anyway, this fella who's going to hire these, he started sending a signal. And what happened was, it was coming over the loudspeaker. Suddenly, there was one person standing there in that room with those people waiting for the interview. He wasn't the first one there. And anyway, he heard, however you do that. And he went and ran in the office. And the people were a little upset. Hey, he's running before us. We're here in line waiting or whatever. And so they were talking or whatever. But anyway, what the manager had coded out, it said, the man I need must always be on the alert. The first one who interprets this and comes directly into my private office will be hired. So all those guys were looking for this job, for this wireless, and it's coming over on the loudspeaker in this room, and nobody's paying attention but this one guy. He heard it. And he ran in there and he got the job. The moral of the story is, we need to have ears to hear and be ready to listen. Because we never know when something's going to come that we need right away. And that's what we're doing this morning. As we look at this passage, it is Jesus who's doing the speaking. It's Jesus who's teaching. It's Jesus who's trying to share with his disciples. He went apart from those that were in the temple. The Sadducees, Pharisees, the Herodians, I think, were there, some others. And he went away from those, and he spoke to his disciples privately here. So today, as we look at this, I'm going to drink some of this Germex in a minute. I got a bottle under here, so I'm sorry. I won't really drink it. Anyway, I'm still trying to understand how Stratton's going to be the capital of toilet paper. But anyway, let's go on. That kind of stuck in my mind there. But anyway, we're looking at this, and it's the sign of the end times is what Jesus is talking about. Most of this chapter 24 and 25, is talking about the time of the tribulation, time of when the church is going to be gone, and of course Antichrist will be revealed, and those things will take place for those 7 years. But during that time, or prior to that time, these very things are going to start to look like the tribulation. Some of us will experience some of these things, or could. In fact, we already are. They've been experiencing these things from 2,000 years ago, from the time of Jesus on. It's been always this way. Peter in his day, he thought the Lord was coming back right then and there, the next day, and he lived his life accordingly. That's what Paul did. He thought Jesus was coming back right away, so he lived his life accordingly. And that's what Jesus is trying to help us to understand, is that really, that the Lord's coming back, here are the signs, and we need to live our lives accordingly. So here, we want to listen to our Lord Jesus. Look at verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. So he went out, and they're kind of like, you know how you observe something? Mike, he'll go out every now and then, he'll walk around the church and look at things, observing the building. That's kind of what they're doing here. Jesus went out, and they're looking at the building, the temple. And that's what Jesus is going to remark about here. He says, and Jesus said unto them, verse 2, see ye not all these things? He said, look at this building. Look at all this stuff. He says, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They wanted to know. Jesus had just told them this temple was going to be destroyed, and they wanted to know, when is this going to happen? When's this going to take place? Well, the temple itself was destroyed in 70 AD. It was destroyed by Titus, who led the Romans to come in. They tore down the walls. Those walls got buried, and I think it was in 1967 that they actually dug those up and found that again. But that's interesting. That's the first sign right there. That's the first prophecy that Jesus is talking about right here in this passage, is that temple would be destroyed. And that happened not many years after Jesus said that. That was prophecy fulfilled. But then he talks about some other signs. Look at verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 11. Not all at once. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Drop down to verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. The second sign that he has given here is the great spiritual deception. It's going on today. That's why we have so many denominations of religious people. And religion is not what we're about. I hope we understand that. What we're about is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what changes our lives. Religion is something that we do. The relationship is something that Christ has done in us. There's a difference. But there are a lot of folks that are spiritually deceiving people today. And Paul knew this in his time. He said in 2 Timothy 3:13, says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Almost 2,000 years ago this was written. 1 Timothy 4:1, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are a lot of folks who have been in good churches over the years that have left those good churches because they didn't understand the first part of this in verse 4 where it says, take heed that no man deceive you, because they were deceived and left the church and went into some other form of religion. The Mormon church is built up of a lot of people who were going to a Baptist church at one time. The Jehovah's Witness, their church is built up with a lot of people that were going to a Baptist church at some time. And why is that? Because they were deceived. And that's what Jesus told his disciples, is that this is an individual responsibility and choice. Every person in this room is going to be responsible to make sure you're not deceived. And the only way we can do that is to know what is right and wrong. And the only way we can do that is by knowing the Scriptures. In Acts 17:11, this is a verse many are familiar with, it says, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. 2 Timothy, both of these are verses you need to memorize, remember? to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think I got it out right. But and those are important aspects, because that's how we're going to be able to not be deceived. That's how we're going to know that what we are hearing and what we are seeing is truth or not. And if you don't know that, you're not going to know. You will be easily deceived, because there are a lot of folks who will take the truth, a little bit of the truth, and then twist it. Satan did it in the garden. He deceived mankind into this situation we're in today. So there's nobody in this room, nobody on this earth can say, that would never happen to me. And I'm saying today, if you don't know the truth, it can and probably will happen to you. And Jesus is making that statement. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. It's by the Scriptures that we are to test everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's all about studying the Word of God. It's all about being obedient to the Word of God and continuing in the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, he says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So if we're continuing in the faith and practicing the faith, you will know if it's of God or not. That's what he's saying. So if you're not practicing it, it's real easy to be deceived. In John 8, 31 through 32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's where we're at in our country today. That's where we're at in the world today, is that there are many false prophets, there are many antichrists that are out there trying to deceive. Trying to get us, if they can move us a little closer to Satan and a little farther away from God, they can have a victory in our lives. You may not give up everything, but you might just give up something. That's a victory for Satan. If we give up anything, that's a victory for Satan. Because he can go before God and say, look at Bruce. Here's where he's at on this thing. He's not following you. He's doing what he thinks best, and he's rejecting your word. He's not following the truth. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to divide, he wants to deceive, and he wants to have us in his hands. Turn to Psalm 19 for a second. Psalm 119. That's a 119. Let no man deceive you. Psalm 119. In verse 9 through verse 16, he gives us some helps here. It says in verse 9, it says, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The question is rhetorical because he's going to give us the answer. And the answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's how we know that we won't be deceived, is by taking heed to the word of God. And then the psalmist writes, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. My whole heart, everything that I like to do, every place I like to go, the things I think are important, I submit those to God. My whole heart, I submit to God. There are things, and I don't know about you, but I've said, I love to do this. You ever said that? Sure, we say that. We say it all the time. But we may not think about what we mean by that in the sense that, do we love that more than we love God? And everyone in this room said, no, I don't love that more than I love God. But then you can do the math and figure out how much time you spend with the thing you don't love more than you love God. But anyway, we won't go any farther with that. So he says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Again, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his judgments, his words, right? God's words. I have rejoiced in the way that of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's a challenge. That last part of that verse, I will not forget thy word. That is a challenge, which I am not doing very well. But nonetheless, it's a challenge. Turn to Psalm 1 real quick. Again, we're talking about not being deceived. And Jesus is talking because there's going to be many that come in that day. And they're here already, and they will be till the end of time. They're trying to deceive us in this church right now, trying to get us and lead us astray from the things of God. In verse 1 of Psalm 1, we'll read the whole thing. It's only 6 verses, so it's not too bad. And most of us have memorized it at one time or another. He says, blessed. I like that word, blessed. That's where I want to be when I stand before God, or if in my daily life. I want to be blessed by God. I want to be considered one of the blessed, because God is looking down on me and he's seeing that I love him with all my heart, and I'm doing the best I can, and yet I fail. I can go to him and say, please forgive me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Boy, that's a challenge. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so here Jesus is talking, turn back to our text. He's telling us, be careful that we are not deceived. Get prepared. Get prepared today, because we don't know what's going to be presented before us in the next day, or the next moment, the next year. And I'll tell you, the biggest battle I have is right here. That's why I need to be in there, so I can have the renewed mind, so I can know what the Bible teaches and live by the Bible, even though I don't want to sometimes, because the flesh is strong and sometimes the spirit is weak. Be not deceived, he says. In chapter 24, again, we see that the churches, or many of the churches, have been warned by Paul and Peter and John. And Jude wrote a book about false teachers. It was prevalent in their day. This was for those people living at that time that these letters were presented to them. But those letters were written that we would have them as well today, and that we could go back and read those just as they were valid at that particular time. They are valid today. Excuse me. So Paul shared in Ephesians, excuse me, to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and 29, says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Just today, as we see these antichrists, these false prophets that are around today, They were there. And Paul struggled with these guys all the time. They followed him around, these Judaizers and these other people. And they tried to tell people and teach people opposite of what Paul was teaching. He was teaching salvation by grace or by faith. And they were teaching salvation by faith and circumcision or works. And they were coming in and trying to stir up. That's why he wrote some of these letters. The book of Galatians is written for that very reason. And so we see that he had these problems as well. He was dealing with these people as well. Ephesians 4:14, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In Philippians, Paul wrote this in chapter 3. He said, brethren, talking to Christians, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have of us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. This is Paul in his day writing these things. Colossians 2:18, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In 1 Timothy 4:1, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's happening right now today in the world we live in. Peter wrote about this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. In John wrote 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How are we going to try those spirits? The Spirit of God that resides in the believer, when he is in the Word of God and knows the Word of God, he will be able to try that spirit to see if it's of God or not. Is it willing to listen to God? Is it willing to follow God? Is it always criticizing the things of God, criticizing what the Bible teaches? You got to watch out, because there are people that are going to deceive, and many will be deceived. And Jude, verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, and it is common, anybody who puts their faith and trust in Christ can be saved. It is common. It's not for any one group. It's not for any class of people. It's not for any different gender or race or any of that stuff, which I, by the way, believe there's only one race, and it's called the human race. But nonetheless, it's common to everybody. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly. Boy, that means get in the Word of God, find out, because we got to contend for this, he says, and contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This morning, we have it right here. This is how we contend. If we were soldiers in the army, what would we have? We'd have a weapon, wouldn't we? We would use that weapon, wouldn't we? We'd go to the battlefront and we'd pull out our rifles. Maybe you're a tank driver. That's where I want to be, in the tank. They're probably safe. I don't know. They can blow those up too. But wherever you're at, you got a weapon to fight this enemy. We have a weapon today as Christians. And you know, to be a good swordsman, you have to practice. If you don't ever practice, you'll never be good enough. And you'll always getting stabbed or pricked. That's what happens. We have the sword, the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will help us and guide us in this. Paul was concerned. Peter was concerned. John was concerned. Jude wrote a book or a letter because he was concerned. We need to be concerned today, because we can be deceived very easily. Jesus also warned his disciples of false Christ. In verse 5, he mentioned that, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In verse 23, he says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. There's only one Christ, and I know where I'm going to see him, and it's in the air. It's not on this earth. I'm not going to see him on this earth. I promise you, I will not see Christ on this earth. until later. I will see him and meet him in the air. Amen? And I don't want to be on this earth when he comes back, because the earth will no longer be. He's going to take care of that before the great white throne. That's after the millennial reign. So here he's talking about this. And in Galatians, Paul writes this very thing in chapter 1, verse 7, 8, he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Watch out. It's real today. It's valid today. The world wants to take the scriptures and they want to mix them with the world's philosophy. And if you don't know the Bible, you will go after it. Why? Because our flesh is so strong. Jesus warned and preached there would be many, and I've already mentioned the Mormon church, there's the Catholic, all these. The Catholic church believes that Jesus becomes a cracker. They believe he's really that cracker or that thing they eat, their bread, that's Jesus. That bread is something that man made. Did man make Jesus? No. And does anybody change that? They think the Spirit changes. It doesn't. There's only one Jesus. And he's coming back. Jesus warned of false miracles that will bring deception as well. Look at verse 24 of chapter 24. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now this is talking about the tribulation. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to pull this out, but there are those people here today. Has anybody ever watched Benny Hinn? Have you ever watched those healers? What they do? I heard a story just recently that a lady, she went to this one guy. I don't remember all the details, the guy's name or anything. And she went to him and she was missing an arm. The guy put her in the baptistry. Said, go home, you'll be healed. A couple weeks later, she come back. She's mad. She didn't have her arm yet. I'm telling you, they're out there. It's easy to heal somebody from asthma maybe. I don't know, because it's hard to test that sometimes. But heal somebody from an arm. If these guys were really truthful and they were honest, buddy, they would put the doctors out of business. There would be no flu epidemic today. There would be no problems because they'd go and they'd heal everybody. You're healed, you're healed, you're healed. Boy, if I had that ministry, I wouldn't be here at church. I'd be in the hospitals everywhere there are because I could go and talk to those people. Of course, it's by faith. And they would have to have the faith, but I would preach it and teach it. And just showing them if this could happen, I think many people might believe. Some still wouldn't. Jesus was here and did those very miracles when he was here. And 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Talking about the Antichrist. The spiritual deception will be so strong that even, this is during the tribulation, the elect will be deceived if that were possible. In other words, it's not, but it's that close. They will think about it. They will wonder about it. Is this Christ? Is this really him? That's how powerful Satan is. What's the third sign? The third sign is wars, pestilence, famine, earthquakes. In Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8, we see Jesus says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Neither be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. That's the next part. I will help thee. I will withhold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I missed a word there. But that's where we're at, or should be. We have nothing to fear. Why? When we fear, that is the opposite of trust. All of a sudden, we're not trusting in the Lord when we're fearing in what man tells us or what man tries to lead us to do. Now, we ought to be wise as serpents. Wisdom comes from God. Understanding. God uses people, lost as well. So there are some things that we need to understand and be wise about. But nonetheless, he says, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. He said, you'll hear these things, you'll see these things, but it's not done yet. I'm not coming back yet. It's not over yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And he says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. That third sign today, we see that. That's been going on since the time of Christ and even before. When you see the fact that there will be wars, it says, this is all prevalent, it's going to come, it's coming right now, but there seem to be getting more and more. Of course, our society, the way we communicate, the electronics we have, things can be said so much quicker, people get madder quicker. Just lots of things can happen real quick today, and they do they not? But these have been going on since Christ. You know, I just looked up and... just to get some numbers, there have been 175 million people killed in wars in the 20th century alone. Just the 20th century. The 20th century is 20 of those. So in every century, there have always been these things going on. Of course, we see that. And you can go back and study all the different wars. A lot of people have died. Right now, we're sitting on the precipice. We're sitting there waiting for somebody to do something. I mean, who are our enemies? Well, we don't know all of them, but North Korea is one of them. Everybody's waiting and trying to figure out what they're going to do. The media just throws this stuff out like it's nothing. I mean, they don't understand that words they say can mean something sometimes, just like our president. The words mean something. They need to be careful how they say things. Just because we don't know Kim Jong that well, he might get upset when you call him the Rocket Man. I don't know. I don't care, personally. But, I mean, who knows if he doesn't go and push a button somewhere? I mean, that's how sensitive things are getting. I watched a video, and I don't mean to divert or run away from this, but this fellow was out on campus in, I think it was California or Washington, I can't remember, or Oregon, one of those places out west. And he's asking people, he says, hey, this guy's about 5'10". He comes up to this person, and he asks this a bunch of people. He says, if I told you I was a Chinese, would you say that I would be telling a lie? And the guy said, no. I mean, maybe you think you're Chinese. I don't want to hurt your feeling. You know, maybe you have some Chinese ancestry. He said, well, if I came up to you and told you I was a woman, what would you think? Well, if that's what you want to be, you know, that's okay. You can be that. I mean, I'm not going to say that you're not a woman. The guy goes up, well, if I told you I was 6'5", what would you say? Now, some of them actually said, you're not 6'5". I can tell that. You're not. But some of them actually said, well, if that's what you think you are, then, and he's talking to a guy that was taller than him, that probably wasn't 6'5". He says, well, if that's what you believe you are, that's what. They have taught the kids not to speak truth, not to think truth. You tell me anything and I'll believe it, whether it's true or not. I mean, stupid stuff. How are they ever going to believe the Word of God? How? Because we've raised a generation of fools, and it's crazy out there. And you know what? There'll be a day that a leader will rise up and these fools, these simpletons, will follow that leader. And it won't be Jesus Christ. You wait. You'll see it. Famine. Famine has told all over the world. Between 6 and 8 million people starved to death in the Ukraine under Stalin's regime. 30 million people died of starvation in China under Mao's regime. The World Health Organization estimates that 4 million people starve to death each year, even under normal circumstances. I never would have guessed that. Living on the face of this earth today, that 4 million people die a year of starvation. And we're worried about saving the earth. We're worried about a lot of things that have nothing to do with helping people, seems to me. But anyway, that's famine. Pestilence, that word pestilence, I looked it up. It literally means the disease or figuratively a pest, okay? Either or. Well, the AIDS epidemic itself has killed 24 million people. 3 million people die of malaria each year. Each year. Influenza virus and pneumonia kills 56,000 Americans every year. And by the way, most of those, they don't tell you the statistics. They don't drill down on those and show you exactly what they're talking about. Most of those are folks who are older and unhealthy, okay? So you young folks who are strong and healthy, don't get too scared about this, because it's people like me who have immune suppressed or whatever that have these problems. It's not the younger people. And that's the natural state anyway. That's what happens because of sin. We all die. We all come to that point. Of course, we all want to live as long as we can, and we trust God for that too. Don't ever leave God out of anything, please. I mean, we can run because the sky's falling, Chicken Little, you know. But where's God in that? Is He running with you? He's probably grabbing you and say, "Hey, wake up. I got something to tell you." Let's trust Him. Let's follow Him. We think about earthquakes. I was looking online. There was an earthquake yesterday somewhere in the United States, in the world. It wasn't a big one. But there are earthquakes almost every day. The last big one we had in the United States, it was recorded, was July 4th in California. It was a 6.6 or 6.5 or whatever. They happen all the time. So they're there. So again, what I'm saying is, Jesus is telling us these things are going to happen. They are. They are happening. But don't lose sight. Don't lose sight that as we continue to go, things are supposed to get worse. The storms are supposed to be a lot harder. These things are going to happen. Why? Because we're nearing the time that Jesus is coming back. And when we have a country and a world that rejects God, rejects His Word, then God is going to allow these things to happen more and more and more. In Paul's day, well, there's going to be persecutions. Jesus shared this in His day in John chapter 15, verse 20. He says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me," this is Jesus talking, "they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." John 16, 2 and 3, Jesus said, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Doing it in the name of God. Killing Christians. "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." It's going to happen. It has happened. The Jews, we remember, that was God's chosen people, the elect. Now, I think they brought that on themselves for their disobedience to God. But nonetheless, 6 million exterminated in just a few years by Hitler. 6 million people. Turn to 2 Corinthians for a second. You say, why are we talking about this? Because I want you to realize that time is short. That we have something to do. And if we're not doing it, nobody else is going to be doing it. Not in our community, because we are the lighthouse. We are the church. So here Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he talks about his ministry. Now, in Paul's day, he was one that he would tell you about Jesus. I can imagine if I happened to meet Paul on the road, he would probably come up to me. Now, he wouldn't do what I do and say, "Let me tell you three things." He probably wouldn't do it that way. But I guarantee you, maybe he'd ask, "Have you ever heard of Christ? Have you ever been saved?" He may put it one of those. I don't know, but I guarantee you, I have this feeling, and I can be wrong. Feelings are wrong. But according to Scripture, I think he would tell me about Jesus. And he wouldn't shirk. He wouldn't, you know, what is Bruce going to think about me? What's that guy going to think about me? I don't think he'd do that. I think he would tell me, and then he'd leave it to me to make the choice, of course, which each one of us has to do. But nonetheless, see what happened in his life. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The power of this life to live in the flesh is given to us by God." And he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus Christ, Jesus, and shall present us with you. So he's talking about these things that he has had in his life and the things that have happened. He had, if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter, it's 11, I think it is. He describes some of this, that during his day, he described this persecution, this suffering, and these things that were happening. In verse 22, verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. He's bold for the cause of Christ. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths off. He's talking about, I've experienced a lot of things in my life for the cause of Christ. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice or 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day, I have been in the deep. In journeyings oft, in perils, in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I'm going out in the country and find a cabin, and I'm staying there because this is tough. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. That was the Christian life back in that day. It's a little different than that today, isn't it? We're so far removed. We're 2,000 years from Christianity, the beginning of it, and it's a lot different today. I mean, sometimes, and I'm speaking of me, how often am I willing to speak of the Lord even? How many people do I walk by and say nothing? How many times do I just have the cares of this world have my attention? I got to get the toilet paper, Adam. I hope we can get some. Got to get the toilet paper. Most important thing in my life right now. You know, there's got to be a way to do this. There's got to be a way. And that way is for us to be bold, to be surrendered to the Spirit of God. It's not about me and what I think and what things I want to do and all my life stories and history, but it's about Jesus Christ. You know, we can talk till we're blue in the face about ourselves, how good we are, and this has happened to me and this has happened to me. There's nothing wrong with fellowship and that. But weigh that with how many times you talk about Jesus. Even with your friends, even with your Christian friends, how often do you talk about Jesus? And think about that. There's got to be a way. Some of the things that I'm working on, and I'm still trying to, but I found this out. I wear my ball cap every now and then that says that I was on the USS McDonough. And it's amazing. And you'll go out and you'll see people, and they'll say, oh, you were in the service. Well, thank you for your service. And so I am taking the opportunity that if someone says something to me about that, hey, can I share 3 thoughts with you and give them a track? Use something to be able to have somebody to say something to you if you're afraid to say something to them so you can at least say something about Jesus. Why are we here? We're here to talk about Jesus. Unless Jesus is not in us or unless there's nothing going on in our life, that we've already been deceived as the world wants us to be, the world wants us to be shut down. They want us not to talk about Jesus. They want us to lift ourselves up. But God says, humble yourself. And he says, I will exalt you in due time. Let Jesus do the exalting, not ourselves. So here he's talking about this. Paul went through this struggle. He suffered these things. He made the statement in 2 Timothy 3:12, says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Peter taught the same thing. We're not going to go there for time, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 through 15, write that down and go look that up. In 1 Peter 4:16, Peter said this, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." You know that word glorify, I don't know what it means here, I didn't check it out, but a lot of times you see that word glorify, you know what it means? Boast. It means vaunt. Who are we to boast about? Christ. Who are we to lift up or vaunt? Christ. That's what this glory, giving glory to God, is all about. It's about Him, not me, not my glory. I have no glory. And if I do, I think that I'm better than God, and I'm robbing Him. These persecutions will come in many ways. Because of our love for Christ, they'll come. Go back to Matthew real quick. We're going to try to wrap this up. Matthew chapter 24. Although I got you here for one service, so maybe we ought to stay. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 24. Again, I want you to look at verse 9. And Jesus begins sharing. So He's talked about these things of the signs of the times. There'll be, of course, the temple would be destroyed. There'll be Antichrist that would deceive us. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilences and the famine and all that. And there are going to be many false teachers that are out there. But He also says in verse 9, He says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And the iniquity, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And in Mark, in the parallel passage, he says this in verse 9, he says, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." He's talking to His disciples, and this is what happened to them. They actually experienced this. We don't see that happening much today, but they actually experienced it for the cause of Christ. It was a different time, too. I understand that. But the fact is, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. And I think it'll start happening prior to the tribulation. We will experience this. If we start naming the name of Christ, we start living for Christ and surrender to Him completely, and I don't know how to do that yet. I'm still working on that. But I think there's going to be some persecutions. There's going to be someone saying, "Why did you do that?" Or "Why? Don't tell me that." Or "Don't tell me." It's going to happen. Right now, it's still okay. I've been talking to everybody I can on the phone these days. Someone calls me up and says, "I got something to sell you." And after that, I listen to their spiel. Used to, I wouldn't even, answer the phone. I don't want to answer the phone. But, you know, God smote me one day sitting in the office and He said, "You know what? I don't see you going out, so I'm going to bring them to you." So I thought, that's good. So then after they get done, I said, "Can I share three things with you?" And so far, nobody has said no, okay? And so I share with them, and then I try to talk to them as much as I can about the Lord. I'm just saying, we got to get a hold of this. We got to start taking the bulls by the horn, because there's going to come a time when there are going to be a lot of people, your neighbors, your family, your friends, that are going to be against you. The way to stop that is to share the gospel, get them saved the best you can. You're the messenger. If you're not sharing the gospel, they can't get saved. So you got to start somewhere. Get the message out. Keep the message alive, because you'll have a better opportunity and you won't see this happen maybe as quick. I don't know. But families are going to betray each other as well. Mark chapter 13, verse 12 says, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, the father the son. The children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death." Luke 21, 16, a parallel passage. "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." In other words, lost family members are going to turn against you. It happened in these disciples' days. And it's going to happen in our day eventually. Christians are going to face some of these things, and many are right now. But the thing is, we don't want to lose sight. We don't want to lose sight of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's coming back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, 10 says, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." You know what He's telling us there? We're not going through the tribulation. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen? And let me share one last thing. Go to 1 Thessalonians, and we'll wrap this up. This is what's going to happen to those who know Christ as their Savior. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is trying to encourage the church there because they were struggling in this rapture, when this is going to take place or whatnot. And he began in verse 13, he actually began way back in chapter 1, verse 1, but in verse 13 of chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." I'm waiting for the shout, okay? "With the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times," chapter 5, "and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is coming back. We need to be busy, because you know what? Our friends, families, neighbors, we want them to meet Jesus in the air too. Because if they don't, they're going to go through what we call the Great Tribulation. This morning, these first 14 verses of Matthew are the beginnings of that. And I think we're going to experience some of that ourselves before Jesus Christ comes back. But this is nothing compared to what the tribulation is going to be like. That 7-year stretch. There are people that are going to die because Bruce didn't say, "Can I share 3 thoughts with you?" and try to help them to know Christ as their Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your guidance and direction in our lives. And we thank you for your love. And I thank you for each one in this room. This morning I pray that everybody in this room understands clearly that to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is, as Jesus told Nicodemus, is to be born again. And that requires a couple things of knowledge that we need, and that is that we're sinners, we don't deserve to be with a holy God, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that if we can put our faith and trust in that, believe with all our heart, realizing and repenting that, yes, we are sinners and that we need a Savior, and call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "Thou shalt be saved." If there's anybody that's never experienced salvation, I pray today that they would have that relationship, realizing religion will never save anybody. It's only the relationship. And Father, I just pray that you would guide and direct in each one of our lives. Help us to be expedient. That word diligent in the Bible often is from a Greek word that means speed. To be diligent in the things of God, that we can help others see Jesus Christ. The days are short, and the time's coming. Help us to be faithful to the end. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.